Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com. Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Happy solstice. As the sun stands still and then changes direction and begins to come back to us, have hope for the future. That is the real meaning of the season. Have hope for yourself, for your family, for our emerging white nation, for our great and immortal race, for the evolving consciousness of the universe of which our race is the vanguard. My winter solstice message this year is about truth and its power, and why they should give us hope. After listening to this program, you may have a deeper understanding of why I named our series of William Pierce CDs The Power of Truth. It may seem strange to begin a discussion of truth and its power with the subject of Bitcoin. But it is not strange. It is not strange at all. Have you been watching Bitcoin lately? It seems that the bankers who initially hated and probably still hate this bank killer digital currency have thrown in the towel and admitted that with all their trillions, they cannot win against it. And they and other establishment financial institutions are starting to accumulate bitcoins, sending the price in dollar terms maybe a tenth of the way to the moon. Now, the main subject of this program today is not economics, but truth. But the two are related. The very Jewish economic system under which we suffer today, the fractional reserve banking system, is the essence of dishonesty, of lies. The liars can create money almost at will, and distribute it to their friends, who are basically required to be our enemies. They can change, increase, or decrease the value of the dollar, also almost at will. They almost always decrease it, but periodically and abruptly increase it momentarily in order to shake out the last bit of wealth from those who managed to retain some while the rest of us sheep were being fleeced by their continual inflation. Now, an inch or a mile or a kilogram are, so far, honest measures that cannot be changed. But the Jude dollar is the essence of dishonesty, of untruth. I don't know who originated the phrase, bring the truth to power, or speak the truth to power. I've heard David Duke say it. I've heard preachers, even black preachers, say it. I've said it myself. Wikipedia claims that the Quakers originated the phrase, but admit that the concept can be found in ancient Greek writings. I like the bring the truth variant over the speak the truth variant, because there's a hell of a lot of doing necessary to change this world once the speaking has been done. Though, of course, the speaking is absolutely necessary, and that's what I've spent most of my life doing. Bitcoin brought the truth to power by simply creating a system which cannot be dishonest. Some people with ideas left over from the 18th century think that precious metals are the only honest money, and that any currency not quote-unquote backed by precious metals is fiat money, meaning money that gets its value from the forced-backed dictate of the state that says that a given currency shall and must be accepted. Simply put, Bitcoin doesn't fit into that simple binary view. First, it's not issued or endorsed or pushed on people by any state or any company or corporation or anyone at all. It just exists, and people can mine it or buy it or spend it or leave it alone. So why does anyone believe it has any value at all? Simply this. It is crystallized honesty. It represents truth, reality, which cannot be faked or fudged. Bitcoin is nothing more than a ledger written with software. Every coin on the system is accounted for in the ledger, and every full node on the network has a complete and updated copy of the ledger from the beginning of time. So a record of how many coins each address possesses, or has sent to other addresses, or received from other addresses, is contained in hundreds of thousands of nodes. So any fakery would be instantly detected and deleted because the fake data would disagree with all the other copies of the data. No Jew banker would ever be able to game this system like they've gamed Wall Street, or like they've gamed central banking, or like they've gamed banking in general, or even how they gamed the so-called gold standard. The inventor of Bitcoin knew all of those games, hated them, and figured out a way to make all that kind of cheating impossible. The ledger doesn't depend on a spokesman or a board of directors or a CEO to say what's what. There are no executive officers, and there is no board of directors. It's a system run basically on autopilot that automatically, absolutely, and truthfully tells you what's what, and it never lies. Bitcoin, simplified to its basics, is just a way of maintaining an honest ledger. Yes, it's a ledger of intangible numbers called bitcoins, but what makes it new is its infallible truthfulness. That's the essence of the invention. And that is enough to allow Bitcoin to be used as a store of value and a payments system. It doesn't matter at all that Bitcoins are just numbers. Nothing else is needed. And people are starting to realize that. Unlike fiat currency, the supply of Bitcoins will top out at 21 million and never increase after that. That's a hard limit built into the system. There are about 18 million Bitcoins now, so the supply will never increase much from this point. There aren't enough coins for every American to have one. There aren't even enough for every person in Florida to have one. If all the Bitcoins there will ever be in the world were divided equally among the Earth's population, each person would receive 3/1,000ths of a coin. So, as every American and every Briton and every resident of Uggabugga Land decides he wants one, too bad. He'll soon have to settle for a few thousandths or hundredths of one, as Bitcoin replaces gold as the ultimate hard money and hedge against the banker's trick of inflation. He will probably have to settle for even less than that, as the hedge funds and money managers for the wealthy have already started to buy up the already tiny supply. And this already tiny supply will soon have a market capitalization, as the finance guys say, comparable to gold, as it will serve the same function. Better. Better? Yes. Gold is inflated by real-world mining at a rate of several percent each year. Better than the bad deal the bankers give us, but not a hard limit at all. And when America was on the so-called gold standard, that didn't stop bankers from creating money using their fractional reserve system of issuing paper notes at many multiples of what they actually possessed in their vaults. They haven't figured out a way to do that with Bitcoin, and they never will. Oh, they'll create central bank digital currencies and the like. They'll create derivatives based on Bitcoin. And they'll try to make them attractive and push them on us, so long as patriots allow them to run around loose, which I hope won't be much longer. But absent the absolute global tyranny they're aiming for but haven't achieved yet, I don't think they can shut Bitcoin down or corrupt it or disrupt it. In fact, many of those at mid to high levels in the current system will soon be utterly dependent on Bitcoin to maintain their wealth. So that's what a bedroom code writer was able to do when he baked honesty, baked truth, into a new financial instrument. He had truth on his side, and he is well on his way now to unseating the undeservedly wealthy and powerful. We also have truth on our side. We have also baked truth, immutable, cosmic, biological truth, into our system. Racial nationalism, national socialism, cosmotheism. I've often speculated on new technologies being developed as dissatisfaction with the system grows, technologies that might give their users extreme power, such as a weapon. or technologies that might confer near invulnerability from existing weapons, or technologies that would be global game changers in some other way. I've speculated about such technologies not being given to any government, not being given to the Jewish or Jew-allied capitalist oligarchs, but instead being given to us. It could happen. The pseudonymous Satoshi Nakamoto, who invented Bitcoin, may well have been a white man. There's evidence to suggest that. And he gave Bitcoin to anybody and everybody who wanted to avoid bankers, governments, and their scams. The scams I've touched on here on this radio program. He pointedly did not give it to the oligarchs or their pet politicians. And now, his invention, just a decade or so later, is set to turn the entire financial system on its ear. Open your mind to a million new possibilities. One of you hearing my voice might have the mind and the character and the energy to make one of those possibilities real. What about a cryptocurrency system that assigns exchangeable value tokens to a man or woman based on his or her service to the cause of racial nationalism? The more service, the more value. It's not inconceivable. What about a system that uses artificial intelligence to expose media lies in real time? What about our own social credit system that, with absolute reliability, ranks the useful versus destructive behavior of groups and individuals, with a reputational rank being given that calls for, say, appointment to high office, generous rewards or grants, or the granting of decision-making powers, if the score is high, or perhaps deportation to a walled-in salt mine full of fellow miscreants, if the score is low. Even a system that can't be implemented in society at large now, because the termites won't allow it, can still be demonstrated once it exists. Maybe no one will immediately go to a salt mine, but a million people might become convinced that they ought to. And that's a beginning. There could be a very large number of different disruptive technologies, totally divergent from anything I've talked about today. Ones having nothing to do with weapons or defense or cryptocurrencies or social credit rewards and punishments. Aryan genius can create a new technology every week. And some of them, and more of them going forward, as the toxicity of the system becomes more obvious to our best minds, will not be sold or given to the system or its agents. Some of them may well be given to us if we show ourselves worthy in the eyes of Aryan genius. Let's become worthy. We can do that. We have it in us. And so, there is hope. Truth is powerful, and we have it, and the enemy does not. Happy Yule, happy solstice, and may hope blossom in your heart.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers, and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of us, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something for the state. can be in business, and the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.